You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey you, how are you doing? And more importantly, how are your turds? If, like me, you're in need of a pep talk and some advice on how to find the glitter in the most turd-laden moments, you've come to the right place. Currently, I'm feeling pretty great after a weekend of, I'm going to say, silliness with friends. Life can get a bit too serious for my liking sometimes, and isn't it good to just engage your silly side sometimes? So I did that. Someone who knows about joy and fun is my mate Ray Morris, who is on today's turd episode. I've been friends with Ray for many years, but this is, I think, the first time we've really dug into a thing that happened to her that she'd feared her entire career. You'll hear from her that although you can expect a certain turd to happen and you know that it happening is for the best, it can still really, really suck. I'm just going to let you listen to the chat now. And as ever, here's a reminder to rate and follow this podcast if you like it. Okay, see you on the other side. Today, I'm speaking with my friend, singer-songwriter, Northern Lass, Ray Morris. She's performed with the likes of Tom O'Dell, Bombay Bicycle Club and George Ezra, and has also co-written with Mel C from the Spice Girls. She's about to release her third album, so I feel so lucky we get to squeeze in some time to discuss the important matter of turd glittering. How are you feeling about that?
I'm feeling good, but yeah, mostly just very happy to be talking to you today. It's kind of like a brief moment of calm in a pretty manic couple of weeks.
Oh, I'm glad that I can take you away from the chaos and the anxiety I'm sure that it brings bringing out another album. So are you happy to introduce your turd?
Yeah, so I've been giving this some thought because you mentioned it to me a couple of weeks ago, you know, so I've been thinking, what is my turd? You know, I think generally I've been lucky, like a very lucky person. I haven't had that many huge turds to deal with across the course of my 29 years. But one that kind of did have an impact on me kind of mentally and emotionally was at the end of 2018. I was dropped by my record label after releasing a couple of albums with them, and after being signed to them for a good chunk of time, I think it was 8 years in total. So it was the end of a chapter, and something that I think a lot of people kind of know about vaguely, but don't really understand the ins and outs of it. Mm-hmm. But the word being, you know, dropped is kind of something that yes, everyone understands. So it was quite a big moment.
Totally. And I'm so glad that you're bringing this to this podcast because, you know, we focus so much on success and like the shiny, glittery parts of life. But, you know, we often forget about the grind and how it's taken us to get to those shiny bits. And it's certainly not straightforward being a songwriter and a singer and a performer. But yeah, the word dropped, I mean, it is so dramatic and it's so final and it's so, I mean, probably quite heart-wrenching. But I mean, was it as dramatic as that, or did you have any inkling it was coming?
Yeah, absolutely. And in a lot of ways, I kind of quite wanted it to happen. because the way that the music industry is moving now, it's a pretty old-fashioned concept to be signed to a major record label, and a lot of the workings of that just kind of that particular label anyway, they just weren't really suiting me for quite a while. So it was really weird that it was this huge event in my life when I knew deep down that it was actually a good thing. So it was kind of multi-layered and a little bit complex. But I think just to kind of caveat this whole chat about it, like it's also a really like privileged thing to be complaining about, you know, and that was something I struggled with too, that I'd been kind of fortunate enough to have been signed to a record label for 8 years, and not everybody gets that opportunity. So it came with this kind of level of guilt as well, that I shouldn't be kind of upset about a pretty good innings and a, you know, a really fortunate experience. So yeah, like it took me a while to digest it and figure out a plan to move forward, even though it was something I'd been preparing for basically the whole time I was signed. It was like my biggest fear that that the moment I signed my record deal, I was like, but what if I get dropped? And then it was 8 years of, but what if I get dropped?
That constant fear, how do you live with that?
For me, because I was 19 when I first signed, I didn't deal with it very well. I think looking back on it, as you know, being just being my friend, I'm a pretty kind of like positive, just kind of boringly nice person. and that is not very good in business. When you're doing business with people, you need to be like a bit more cutthroat and a bit more kind of clear on what you want to do, and make sure that people don't walk over you, and make sure that you get what you want out of something. And I think because of my innate fear of losing this like spectacular opportunity that had somehow happened to little old me, it meant that I spent a lot of my time, those first 8 years, being like, okay, yeah, I'll do that, sure. You know, whatever you say, which I think didn't help anyone, because it meant that I wasn't doing what I wanted to do, and I kind of wasn't respected by my team for, you know, for being kind of sure about what I wanted.
I think it's always good to check your privilege no matter what, but songwriting and singing and performing, that was all you knew, right? I mean, you've been playing piano since you were 4. I guess that's such a monumental shift in like, okay, so I don't know what life holds now for me career-wise, but I'm not allowed to feel bad about it because I'm actually really lucky to be in this position. So then how do you navigate from that place? Because you're a good human, so you don't want to moan, but equally you're allowed to, because that would have been shit.
Yeah, totally. And it was shit because you're like, oh, okay, that thing has happened, that thing that I've been most scared about has happened, and I just want to feel a bit sorry for myself for a while.
Yeah,
wallow in it and say all the things like, my career is over and no one cares about me and I'm an old hag with no prospects. You know, I think my way of dealing with it was to kind of just give myself a window of time to just be really gutted, basically, and kind of go for it. And I think it was September time. So I had my birthday and all of these things, like just I remember just feeling like everything had lost its meaning and and its way, and you know, I again like fortunate enough to have not dealt with huge mental health issues in my life, so it was a kind of a time where I was just kind of trying to understand how to bring myself through that. I just allowed it for kind of a couple of weeks, maybe 6 weeks, and then slowly, like everything, things start to fall into place. But there's some elements of that kind of process that were the glitter, which I've also been thinking about, you know, who and what made that whole situation better. And yeah, I was fortunate to have some glittery particles nearby.
Yeah, I think it takes all sorts to kind of get you out of those particularly sad times. I mean, September, that's beginning of winter. To me, I'd be like, oh, the days are getting so short and now it's everything so dark. And, you know, that would have been my process. But I mean, I wonder because, okay, so you've been dropped, but I mean, what was your sort of barometer of success at that time? What did you think? Like, okay, so now I don't have a label. What does my career look like now? When you were starting to, I guess, pick yourself up again and go, okay, enough moping. Like, did you reassess what success looked like to you? What was your dream from then?
That's exactly what I had to do. I had to sit and reassess things and take stock and kind of try and be really honest about what my aims and goals were in music. Again, a very weird thing when like your career is in this very strange industry. You know, my job for all those years was just making music and entertaining people, and that's just weird. So my husband Ben, who you know, was an extreme help during this time, and he's a very like calm and level-headed character to have around, just in general everyday life, but also in this situation. And we actually just sat down at the table. This was before we had a baby, so there was time to just sit down and talk to each other.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Which now seems like a distant memory. But he just basically interviewed me in this kind of format and started from the very beginning and was like, okay, why do you make music and what do you want to achieve from it and what have you enjoyed about the process so far and what have you not enjoyed and which elements do you think you're better at than others? And we just did this like huge process of reevaluation, and I guess the outcome of that was understanding that it's something that I feel compelled to do, and making music and performing music are things that I love more than anything in the world. And there's a side note of money, because that's realistic. And I think like coming from a pretty normal working class background, like making money has always been like a huge goal for me, practically, and just kind of, yeah, it's like a aspirational level up thing. And so after that, I was like, okay, I understand now that no matter what happens, I will always make music. And that's what it's all about. There's no concept of being part of this kind of like industry focused system where you have to be really successful within that framework. It's just about finding a way to make music always, you know, even if that means funding it in different ways. And he was a major turd glitterer.
He's such a good egg for doing that. I mean, but I can imagine him in that sort of situation. I mean, yeah, that you kind of need someone like that. I've definitely had people that sit me down with a big piece of paper, big colorful pens, and like just talk through strategy. Okay, what is this? Like what do you want? What does it look like to you in 5 years, 10 years? Like, and all those sort of questions that you just don't ask yourself because you're so mixed up in the doom and gloom of the situation. It sometimes it requires someone else to help you look beyond that, doesn't it?
That's how you guys came up with the Copperfield name, isn't it? By just kind of writing things down. And
yeah, we've always just gotten pens and paper out. I think it's amazing what comes out at the end of a session with a pen and paper. I remember, I don't know if you remember this conversation that we had at the beginning of last year. So we were in another lockdown and my book was coming out last year, and we were chatting when I was up in Scotland and we were catching up, and I kind of needed to hear from you what you deemed success, like what, because I was in this sort of pickle and really doubting myself about like what the book would do in the world and what impact it would have, and what, like, was it just such a braggy thing to do? Was it such a, like, you know, what was the point in my book? And when it comes out, how happy will I actually be? Will it be massive anticlimax? Will I feel really elated? Will I want it to be a Sunday Times bestseller? What if it's not, etc.? I was going through all sorts, and you reassured me that that was a totally normal feeling. And you thankfully told me that for you, when you bring out a record, you can actually focus on the fact that you can be proud that you've produced it. Like it exists. If you hadn't, it wouldn't exist. And just the fact that it exists is enough for you. And I think for me, that was so reassuring to hear, because I thought, well, okay, maybe if I can refocus my and sort of shift what I deem successful so that I can be happy with whatever happens next. And thankfully I did.
Well, that's I totally do remember that conversation, and it was really important for me as well as a reminder of that. But it's easier said than done, obviously, to change your focus or your thought process. And a lot of the time that is other people putting that into your mind, like the people you work with or things you see on the internet on the daily. I actually feel like I really need this reminder now, you know, with a week and a half until my record comes out, and you're thinking about other people's chart success versus your own and what that means to your team members. And obviously it's there, like it is a business. People have invested in certain ways or whatever, and it kind of does matter. But this is, again, really nice for me just to remember that ultimately the thing that you've made, the creation, the thing that's going to like outlive us all and kind of be something that generations down the line look at and go, cool, like, you know, that's Auntie Chris's book, like that's, you know, that is ultimately what it's all about, right?
Yeah, it's totally that buzz. And it's so easy to forget. Like you said, you're scrolling on Instagram and you're comparing yourself to other people's success. You're comparing yourself to what other people have and what they've achieved. I mean, I want you to just look at some of the, I was watching some of your music videos earlier just to like get myself in the mood. And I was reading the comments under it. And like, you just have some real diehard, long, like big fans who adore you and really respect everything you put out there. And I think maybe if you're having a wobble, read some of those comments, because they are the ones that will love whatever you're producing next.
Yeah, you're so right about that. And that is the beauty of social media, that we can have that direct line to those comments. And yeah, I am making a much more of an effort to read positive comments and kind of let them be the thing that guides the movement forward. And
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need.
Okay, so I think when we spoke before as well, you were like, I don't know, maybe I'm imagining that you said this, but I always feel like artists like Jessie Ware, they're constantly pregnant and yet producing incredible music. And kind of, I want to understand what it's like for a woman to be in that industry that I presume is very male-heavy as well. And a label that's making decisions about your life and is probably considering, is she going to give birth at some point? I don't know. I'm speculating. But how does that impact your decisions with your career? And has it stopped you? Has it forced you to be more independent and do what you want to do? Or and I guess in a way, it's quite nice to see people like Jessie Ware just getting on with it. But without hopefully some pressure for other women to do the same.
Right, absolutely. It's so multifaceted, isn't it? Like, I think Jessie Ware is an amazing, like, ambassador for other females in pop, but it's a shame that she had to do it first, because I feel like when she had her first kid, like, I don't know her very well personally, but that probably was really uncommon still. Whereas, like, now where I've just had a baby, I think it already, people like Jessie have kind of made it more kind of acceptable. I don't know if that's the right word, but
it's a fucked up word.
Yeah, but it feels like, but what I'm trying to say is that I think it's a lot better now than it probably was for Jessie on her first kid. Yeah, like when I was talking to my people about, you know, when I just found out I was pregnant, I'd be like, you know, Jessie Ware manages to do it. and so, like, thank goodness for her, really, in a lot of ways. But it shouldn't be like that. And I think the thing is that being a musician and touring and doing all this stuff it's really not set up well for having a family. You know, like, you're expected to be away all the time. The hours are really unsociable. And so it is, I think, probably alarm bells ring in the head offices of major labels when their artists get pregnant. But also, I'm like, on the flip side to that, we work in an industry where you can make your own rules. And, you know, I'm in rehearsals this week and I'm doing kind of 12 till 6, and then I can get on the tube home and be home in time to feed Marla before putting her to bed. And so I'm really lucky that, you know, I'm not going into an office where I've got to be there at 9 a.m. But the sad truth of the music industry is that, like, it's not that sexy to people, I think, to be kind of like a working mum. A working mom pop star. And so much of music is obsessed with youth and sex appeal and beauty and perfection. My tits right now are very different, very saggy, very, you know, not what anyone would like to put on the cover of some sort of magazine.
Can you please just do a TikTok about the state of your boobs, please? I think that is what we all need to see.
I'm happy to do that. I'm very happy with them, you know. Like, I'm looking at them, I'm like, this is cool. These guys have been doing some mad shit for the past year, but they are deflated balloons. And that is just what I don't understand. I don't know why we're really getting into this right now, but is I thought they'd get massive because they've got all this milk in them, but they've gone really little and deflated. So I don't really understand.
What? Where is all the milk?
I have no idea. And I definitely don't drink enough fluid to make milk. So it's an absolute mystery to me. But that aside,
it is a miracle. It's a mystery and a miracle. Let's be honest. It shouldn't take people like Jessie Ware. I mean, females have been having babies for a very long time, and been musicians for a very long time, I think. But it takes for someone to kind of show us that it's done and it can be done successfully, and you kind of hopefully gives other females the confidence to go, no, this is not going to stop my career, it's not going to stop my dreams, I can have both, hopefully.
I do think it's possible. I think being in it right now and you know, having done it, like, I did things from when Marla was about 3 or 4 months old, so it's felt doable for this year. And obviously it's chaotic and there's a lot of logistics that I didn't have to deal with before, but, you know, for any female artists or performers or whatever they're listening to this, which I'm sure there are, it is definitely doable. It's not easy, but you know, it's worth the chaos, I'd say personally.
Yeah, and I think some people really appreciate hearing that. Okay, I just want to talk a bit more glittery stuff. Yeah. So the power of music, the power of your incredible music. It's no doubt, you know the power of the music, and it's no doubt transported people to great places. And you yourself have helped other people glitter their turds with your music. Do you realise that?
I think I do, because I've been sent, like you said earlier, you know, so many nice comments and messages about things. And I do read through them on Instagram in particular, and people, you know, share kind of really intimate experiences that they've had where particular songs of mine have helped them through that. And it's actually quite hard to digest, because you're kind of like, particularly when you're just like sat at home in your living room reading something like that. And I'm sure you get lots of messages in a kind of different but similar way. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of like, okay, I wish I could digest it a bit more so that I could maybe do something interesting with that feeling. But it's quite a lot to take on, isn't it, when it's someone else's life and you're kind of somehow connected to it. But yeah, I think my best thing is meeting people after gigs, and there's just not been any of that. I like to actually meet people in person, so I'm really looking forward to kind of what the connection is.
And how do you see music for you? What kind of therapy is it to you?
It's this kind of familiarity, I think, a lot of the time, just kind of you know, putting on a record that I listened to when I was younger, or hearing a voice that I have a lot of experience with, you know, I've been through a lot of experiences with, is a comfort and a kind of place of warmth, I guess. I spoke to someone the other day about the whole Kate Bush thing with her yeah. unexpected but long deserved hit. And, you know, I'm just like, I'm so happy for her as a deep long-term fan. I'm just like, I feel like my friend is having like a great time. And she's not my friend. I don't know her. I wish, I feel like this is, I feel like she was my secret. And now all these little kind of teeny kids on TikTok are kind of getting to enjoy it too. And that's the beauty of loving an artist and loving music, is that you feel like you kind of have this intimate connection with someone when you don't. But that's okay, you know. I'm happy with my one-sided relationship with Kate Bush.
But what if you ever did meet her? What would you say?
Honestly, like, I feel like now that I've got a child, like, that would be really interesting and easy to talk to her about that. And going back to that thing, I think she was always in the back of my mind that she managed to have a kid and kind of be in the countryside and make her records and come back when she wanted to and make that work. Obviously she'd had like wild success before that, which might have helped. But yeah, I think I'd ask her about her experiences with being a mother and still making great, interesting music. But yeah, is there someone that you want to meet like that? Do you have a person?
I don't think there is. I'm not good with small talk at the best of times. So, but no, I think I am happy to admire from afar and make up stories about these great friendships that we could have if I wanted to.
It's sometimes better. It's less complex and disappointing to be able to just...
Exactly. There's like, there's no levels of expectations there. It just is... in my mind, fine.
Open the door to huge savings now at Menards. Enhance the appearance of your home with a new stylish garage door. Choose from our large in-stock selection of ideal garage doors, or design your own using our free garage door designer in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on ideal garage doors. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
Talking of seeing someone that you really admire on stage, you are my friend and I get to admire you on stage. And I remember being at Camp Festival and just like, I was looking around and everyone was singing the songs and knew all the lyrics and they're having such a great time. And I was like, oh my God, I feel so proud. But also, how do you know that song? She's my friend. How dare you? So I felt deeply jealous that everyone else had a slice of you in that moment too.
That's funny.
I mean, how is it for you, like on the stage and like, oh my God, that must be such an insane feeling.
What's really funny is that I remember obviously coming to get coffee from you and Beyonce, your van, at that festival. And then I got one of your really cool pom-pom headbands. And like that whole day was just kind of really, you know, the focus was on just being with friends and family. And a lot of the time on the stage, I think about who I know in the audience. Like I don't think about the people I don't know. Like it could be thousands of people I don't know, but I'm just like, what's Chris thinking about this? Like, does Chris like this? Now? Like, you know, but it's
really it is that.
See, I swear, that's the power of the mind, you know, like you kind of, not that I, you know, I would ever think you would not like it or judge me or anything, but it's just mm-hmm. like you focus in on the people that kind of, like maybe know you best. And yeah, a lot of the time I'm like, oh, is my mum like okay in the audience? Is she like, where are they standing? There was a venue you guys came to actually, Bristol Marble Factory. Do you remember that one? And I think you were with Georgette and Maureen, obviously. And I can't remember if it was just the three of you, but.
And Nicola.
Thank you. Sorry, Nicola. And it was absolutely freezing. It was a really, really cold venue. And all I could think about the whole time was like, is everyone just really cold? Like, I just can't handle the fact that it's really cold. And people were literally leaving because it was that cold. So there's a lot of distraction in my brain. and a lot of the time I'm not thinking about the gig, you know, I'm thinking about everything else. But maybe that's a good thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd say that is probably quite a normal thing. But I'm pretty sure that 99% of the time your mum is very happy just to be there. Having seen your parents at most of your gigs, they look like they have the time of their life. So I think they are two people that you probably don't have to worry about too much. I think they're just fine.
That is a very good point. It's almost disconcerting how much of a good time they're having, to be honest. It's like, are you not bored of this yet?
Yeah, they will never be bored. Okay, so let's move on to your sort of one key lesson that you wanted to share about your turd, or, you know, the glittering of the turd. Please.
Yeah, I think we may have touched on it slightly earlier when I was explaining about the turd, because my key takeaway from that whole experience was that everything is kind of bad for a moment, whether it's like a few days while you digest something, or maybe it's like a really bad year, or like, you know, those moments of chaos ebb and flow. Like this is my kind of experience anyway, that I feel like I can kind of deal with a big turd moment if I know that it's going to get better for a minute, and then kind of maybe it'll just keep going back and forth like that. And I feel like that's a lot of life, you know, there are deep ups and deep downs. I think because it was the first big shit thing that had happened to me, and I did pretty well to get to like, what was I, like 27 or something for you know, for that to happen, it was the first time I'd realized that you just keep moving, and in a few weeks there'll be clarity, and whether anything's changed hugely, maybe not, but we have a great ability to kind of gain different perspective and see mm-hmm. things a little clearer with time. And I just never realized that before, you know.
And do you wish someone had said that to you, as you know, when you found out what was happening with your label?
I think they probably did. I think Mike, like everyone around me was like, don't worry, you know, like it's fine, it's a good thing, like blah blah blah. And people say that stuff to you, you can kind of try and take it in, but really until you understand it yourself and feel the relief of like mm-hmm. time or just mm-hmm. things slightly resolving themselves, you can't listen to anyone when you feel like shit.
Yeah. Oh no,
No.
You're right. But I think, yeah, you gain so much from these experiences, and you grow, and you gain this sort of level of strength and understanding about how to get through life's pickles about a lot more the more they happen. I'm not saying, like, get yourself some more turds, then you'll be fine. But I think you have come out the other side, and you can now probably deal with similar situations or worse situations or not so bad situations, slightly easier way probably. I mean, we won't know that until the next turd lands.
That's it. But, you know, even just thinking about it, like, and this is why I love your whole turd concept, glittering a turd concept, which, like, I just think is, yeah, it's such a brilliant premise. Like, even just that in itself, like, when a turd lands and something bad happens, even just thinking about the fact that this is something that you can kind of take and use as a challenge and see how well you can turn it around, like, that's helpful, having this concept to play with. So I think a lot of people, you know, after reading your book and being part of your whole journey as well, I think a lot of people will get through their own turds with a lot of maybe slightly easier because of that.
And that's the whole point of this podcast, is people listening to people, you know, stories like yours, because not, you know, as I keep saying, not every turd is an illness or cancer or whatever. So I think I want so many perspectives, and I've really enjoyed listening to yours. So what would you say is the one thing, tangible or otherwise, that you think has helped you to glitter your turd?
I think I'm going to say Ben, my husband. Because, like, you know, he deserves credit there. And, you know, like, I do feel really fortunate to have a person that kind of deeply understands my inner workings. And I really hope that everybody has someone like that, that they can kind of just be a total idiot too when they're feeling crap, and they won't, you know, they won't kind of make them feel bad about it forever. I think we could all do with someone like that. And I on the surface I appear very, very level-headed or whatever, but I do have moments of like, rah, what now, and he deals with that for me, and I'm really grateful for that. So yeah, he's a good glitterer to have around.
Oh, good. Okay, great. I'm glad that we're adding Ben to our mix of things to help us get through life's turds. I might use him for one of my turds at some point too.
I'm sure he'd like that.
Okay, great. Thanks. he won't mind that you've offered that on his behalf at all.
Hey, Mama, you don't have time to be messing around endlessly scrolling to find a caregiver for your child. Let me clue you in to my trick to save time and my sanity when finding a sitter. SitterCity.com. SitterCity knows what they're doing. They've been helping busy parents find the perfect sitter for over 20 years. While other sites overwhelm you by throwing hundreds of random profiles your way, SitterCity matches you with caregivers who actually fit your needs. No endless scrolling, no guesswork. I love that all caregivers undergo ID verification. They have background checks, specialized qualifications, and real parent reviews to know if they showed up on time or really know how to handle my sassy toddler. And if I need help, I can talk to a real live human, not a robot, with SitterCity's delightful team. You know, my employer pays for me to get SitterCity completely free as part of my benefits. Yours could too. SitterCity is my go-to for a smarter, simpler way to find reliable, trustworthy care. Don't wait. Go to SitterCity.com/XX and get the help you need.
Okay, so now we're going to listen to one of the podcast listeners called Alex, who has glittered their own turd.
Great.
I was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. I'm 28 years old and a non-smoker. That obviously kind of changed my life completely. And shortly after, my cat got diagnosed with FIP, which meant that he didn't have that long to live. And sadly, my boyfriend's dog also actually died of cancer recently. So there's been many turds. And although I think if you summarize it like that, life couldn't sound shitter, I feel like I found a newfound love for being alive and believing that I can still have a good, happy life, even if it's not a long one, just doing all the things I want to do. So I think if I hadn't have had cancer, I would have just spent most of my time working and, I don't know, maybe just not appreciating the life I had and how fortunate I was. So I guess there's an upside to a really horrible turd.
Yeah. As I say time and time again, isn't it mad that something like as bad as cancer helps us to gain a whole different perspective on what our life should be, what happiness means to us, what we want to spend our time on, and all this. And I'm so glad that Alex has found that now. And I hope, you know, however long she has left to live, that every moment is in some way a good moment. But it just, it's so, to me, sometimes so sad that it takes something like that for us to get that perspective.
Yeah, it obviously, that's perspective for me as well, because I've not been through anything like that. And I'm kind of sat here moaning about my music industry career. So again, like, it's just kind of, everything is, gets put into context. And, I do love that Alex is able to look at the situation like that. Like, it's so impressive. And I'm just deeply in awe that she can do that. And that is like, that is true glittering, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It really is. Thanks, Alex, for sharing that with us. It's awful, awful. But having not only your own illness to contend with, and then to have your, you know, some dear animals suffering too. Oh, I'm so glad Alex is able to share that now, because I think that takes also quite a lot of courage to be able to say that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay, so one final thing we're going to do. Do you have a drink nearby?
I've got a little coffee.
Yes, dregs of coffee. Dregs. It tends to be dregs. We, like, whenever I have a guest, they're like, there's dregs. I've got dregs. I can use dregs.
There's a mouthful.
We should just call this the... Okay, great. We're just going to cheers to life.
Yes.
And all of its turds. And I wish we were in person and we do properly cheers, but here we go. Through the screen, it'll have to do.
Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you for sharing some of life's trickier spots with us. I really appreciate you for doing that.
Thank you so much for having me. And yeah, this has been an absolute highlight of maybe even the last month.
Wow.
And you're doing such an amazing job glittering everything that you touch, as always.
Well, I don't think I needed to tell you that Ray is, in fact, not boringly nice. And I think what we also now know is that it's okay to do things your way and to maybe trust that it will all work out. And when things are a bit shit, you find someone to be an idiot with who doesn't make you feel like crap for what you're going through. I'm so glad Ray has Ben for that. Also really glad we know about Ray's milky boobs. As you know, I'm a big fan of any kind of boob chat, anytime. Thanks, Ray, for sharing your turd with me, but also for creating the music that you create. If you haven't listened to Ray, please do it now. You should know that she wrote a song called Rose Garden, which is about me, and it's still one of the most beautiful things anyone has ever done for me. Not that it's necessarily about me, for me. It makes more sense when you listen to it, but it's honestly so special. I should also say that her new album, Rachel at Fairyland, is out now, so please listen, go see her on tour. Also, big thanks to Alex for sharing your multiple turds with us. I so appreciate you doing that. Thank you. Thank you to each and every one of you for listening to this podcast. Loads and loads of love to you and your turds, whatever shape, size, or genre they are. Until next time, goodbye.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free Blackstone 8-piece accessory kit when you buy a Blackstone 28-inch griddle. Plus, get two free select Craftsman V20 tools when you buy an RP brushless drill and impact driver combo kit. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.